this is a gnarly head Merlot.
Gnarly heads. So I am not here to make any further presentation. We'd like to open. No, seriously, we'd like to open the mics. I've merely put up a couple of topics here that are things I've heard people talking about on the list or in the hallway or have come up to me and said, we should talk more about this. So this is your time, not my time.
Okay, so.
I see someone coming to a mic. I would be happy to free associate on all these topics if no one else would like to, but I'm sure other people would like to. So please, Mr. Berger.
Hi, Eric Berger. So in the alcohol-induced haze this morning, as I was walking around, I noticed lots of work being done in small meeting rooms. And I'm wondering, and I'm thinking of, you know, the work groups that I'm involved in where we get stuff kind of done and it moves at a pretty decent pace, seem to be smaller work groups. And that maybe one of the things, and again, you know, you've seen on the list, you've seen me at the microphone with, you know, dispatch should have no deliverables. You know, it has a product, which is things get handed off, but that they get handed off to smaller things, whatever those things may be. I don't want to debate what those things are, but that's just a thing that I think might help.
Okay. Certainly, we all agree, I think we don't want it to have protocol standards. Whether or not it can have a charter, generating a charter text as deliverable something, I think is something we're still discussing.
Okay, I think Hadriel's up next, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's okay. It's up to you. I'll let you go. Go ahead.
I don't know why else I'm standing here. Hadriel?
All right. Number one, option tags. Yes, those should not require, we should allow so-called proprietary option tags because they're already used in the wild and they work and they were supported in 2543. So we should allow that to happen without RFCs.
Without RFCs, just expert review is what you're, I just want to understand what you're asking.
Yeah.
Expert review or?
Actually, that's an excellent question. I don't know, but okay. I do know that shouldn't require the level it needs right now. And then with the dispatch, if and actually this is exactly from the identity topic we just had today. If dispatch is going to require agreeing on requirements, which is kind of what SIPPing used to require, we are going to need either a lot more time on each topic, or it's going to become exactly what SIPPing was at that point. And I think that dispatch should be stateless,
okay.
A stateless router, and not go to that level of detail. Really more of a, are there people, almost like a pseudo BOF, are there people interested in, and I know BOFs get to requirements a bit too, obviously, and try to scope the work, but we don't need to get to the level of documenting requirements and getting complete agreement from the entire group. To me, it's the, should we go split off a group that is interested in this, and the rest of us can do other things that we're not, if we don't care about that. So that's my comment on dispatch, I think.
Okay. Interesting on that, I just want people who are coming up who are going to speak to dispatch and what documents should be in it. If people disagree with, I think, the line that Eric and Hadriel here are giving, which is that it should be stateless, that is more like an open area group, please expect disagreement. We're hearing a lot of people agreeing with that. So, Henning.
Henning Schutzwani. Hannes and I had submitted a draft, kind of a very quick draft, on just some random, kind of somewhat baked, some pretty WADO state ideas on the culture change aspect. I think we should, if we try with just relabeling the groups and have the same culture, we're going to look back 5 years from now, look at the rate of production and the delays, and we're going to look very similar to that. And part of it is when you look around, and this goes back to an earlier comment, in the working group meetings, you have a handful of people participating, the remainder of people primarily looking for a power strip where they can mine. Conveniently maintain the email connectivity for the next 2.5 hours. And so that clearly isn't working terribly well. So based on now, what I would like to get to discuss at some point is at least do some experiments that allow people who either need to be incentivized or want to be able to do relatively small things quickly, kind of have the equivalent of an express checkout lane at the grocery store. So 12 items, maybe 12 pages or less or something like that.
12 musts or less.
I'm sorry? The haiku would help, yes. And they get essentially like a year or some equivalent, 3 meetings, and it's either done or it goes, it's either not solvable because it's more complicated, or some version thereof that incentivizes people to do things quickly, To do things more in parallel, to have earlier review assignments, all of these things that we know we can do, and actually measure, what I think is the old adage and cliche is, you manage what you measure. We rely on other people to measure, and we don't like results. And so what I think we need to do better job at as a REI community, as a sipping dispatch, whatever community, is to do our own tracking and make that part of a culture to show that as the second slide after note well, is, how are we doing better? We used to do that at the plenary with the RFC editor. They used to show these graphs and they seem to have made a difference because people don't like to be in the red zone, and maybe we can encourage that a little bit.
Sure. And I did want to just put another plug for the excellent draft that Henning and Hannes and Marcus did. Everybody should be reading that. Comments on that are basically comments on this whole thing. So this is just one first step we're looking at here. There are lots of other things in there we obviously need to address. I think Jonathan was next.
Yeah, Jonathan Rosenberg. So similar to Henning, I think I worry, as others worry, that there will be lots of little documents that are too small for a new working group, but then they're going to just end up, we're going to do them in dispatch. And the problem is a lot of stuff that ended up being bigger didn't start out big, right? Overload, for example, I didn't think it was going to be big enough to need its own working group, but I now think it does. So my fear is it'll just be the same exact thing as SIPPIC, that nobody's bringing a draft forward will actually really want to have a new working group form for it because they know it just means a BOF process, probably two BOFs, and we've never demonstrated the ability to move faster, and then nobody wants that. And no matter what you say, we're going to have arguments like we just had in dispatch about, whether people like it or they disagree with it. We've never seen a requirements document that truly doesn't go to solutions. Everyone likes to talk about that here. So I think that's, the idea of trying to spin off things in small working groups is good. I'm just fearful that we're going to quickly find the path of least resistance is to continue to do what exactly we're doing right now.
Well, and this is one of the things on bullet five here, when we talk about the cleanup working group, the notion that we should have, if there is going to be a place for small efforts, we can either have that be dispatch, or we could even assign something else to be a place where small
efforts. Do you think anyone will ever show up with a draft that they think doesn't go to the cleanup working group?
I understand. But the point is, it's no longer dispatch. That is, the work dispatch does is at least, functionally differentiated from the work of, you've got an effort, now we're actually going to produce some specifications.
But then all it's done is added yet another layer on top of what we have to sipping. So you have to go to this thing first, then go to sipping to do the work, and then if it gets big, get a new work. That only is adding another layer. That's my worry. Now, like I said, I'm not objecting. I'm saying I think it's laudable that we try and spin off stuff rather than doing them all and sipping, but I'm a little worried that we don't have the process quite right to make that happen.
Obviously, suggestions of how we could improve that are obviously appreciated. Mr. Allen.
Andrew Allen. Yeah, so I sort of got some of Jonathan's concerns as well. And also, although, as Eric says, small is usually more efficient, quite often that's because you don't have as many people participating and having different opinions. But I worry a little bit. We already have RII sessions going off in parallel now with our working groups. That we'll get, if we spin off too many working groups, small working groups, we'll end up at IETF with scheduling problems where we cannot schedule them such that the people that we need to do, because although I don't know, there might be a total of 200 people who are participating in RII, there's probably only about 30 people that really are main participants, and those same 30 people will be running around to most of those sessions, and you'll run into where the ADs can't effectively schedule it, and the working group chairs schedule it. That's a concern. If we get too many small working groups, IETF will have problems. And then maybe we'll have to have interim meetings, and we know how that's going to go down in the current economic climate.
This is something we've gotten pretty strong feedback that people like this part of it, I think, in general, of having independent kind of shepherds looking after these individual work items and having working groups that will close when some very specific and small thing is completed. It's something people seem to feel very positive about. Dean, I'm going to ignore you, Mr. Berger, for a little bit. Dean?
Hi, Dean Willister. Two points I want to hit, one option tags and the other on sort of a cleanup working group. I believe that every SIP header or extension probably needs an option tag associated with it just for the purpose of discovering whether your partner supports that extension. So I think the idea of not having option tags for P headers was bad. and we should probably provide a mechanism for option tags for whatever headers we allow by whatever process we decide we should have headers. Okay, second point, on the organizational model of existing work. I would really like to keep the charters for whatever working groups we create, SIP Corps Dispatch, extremely tight. And that probably means not grandfathering existing work from SIP and SIPing into those working groups. I think it would be much better idea to make a pass through the work that's on the SIP and SIPing charters, find out which of that needs to be dispatched now, i.e. to form a new working group, whatever we should probably just stop working on, because there's probably someone that goes in that category. And then the remainders, the little pieces of SIP and SIPing that we're pretty close to finishing, but they just need to have some home to finish in, I think we need to either form a third working group or keep one of SIP and SIPing alive to finish up the tag ends of the chartered work.
Yeah, this is Mary Barnes. People aren't saying their names, but I'll say mine. Part of what I want to get down to is, you know, I had nightmare thoughts about this dispatch, like Jonathan just becoming SIPing again, right? And part of it, I think, is the cultural thing that Henning brought up. And I think one thing that might work, but it's still going to require, again, a cultural change, is that, for example, a new individual document that someone thinks is dispatchy we want to talk about, I think we're going to have to, like, pre-screen these, if you will, because it won't be at all helpful to just toss them into a dispatch, you know, session at the meeting, right? I mean, my view of dispatch is dispatch may never actually meet at a working group, I mean, at the IETF face-to-face, or just have a very brief thing. These are the documents that came in, and this is where we want to toss them. So to me, this comes down to kind of Gonzalo's little clusters, where we've got a group of people, someone, and this also requires people to bring their individual documents in way sooner. You can't submit them 2 weeks before the deadline. We can't make progress that way. And, you know, to me, this is a cultural thing. We get them in early enough, and we can kind of talk about them, you know, ahead of time, so that we've got a plan going into the dispatching, if you will. Because otherwise, it would become SIPing again.
I mean, right. Now, I don't think anybody was suggesting we were going to do this like a gong show, right? I mean, I think this is much more, again, like an open area meeting. If you've been to apps open area, you know, where people...
What? Which has been a gong show.
That's been a gong show. Right. I mean, okay, but the point is people, you know, have short presentations on topics that might be boss leader or things like that, and it...
But to me, it's not very effective if we just do our normal process of getting those documents at the last minute and people putting charts up, right? Okay. Because you don't have enough time to really think about the problem and to know really where it should go. So this introduces the long delays, and to me, it ends up being our same world that we have now. My view of it.
So,
now
with,
Mr. Berger,
yeah, thank you. I know I chose the good line, so I didn't mind waiting.
Yeah.
So, especially since it's almost being associated with my name, I am not advocating that every time someone brings a document that a work group is formed. In fact, if we look at other areas like the apps area, probably 20% of the documents that get published are individual standards track documents, that they're not, they're outside of the charter, but they're really kind of needed. And in fact, does that mean a bunch of stuff gets dumped on the AD? Not really. I'm still the shepherd of the document. The document's still got a pseudo last call in my work group. So it's still got good stuff, but it was not really diverting, because it's still, as we say, part of our culture problem is also a protein problem. There are only so many people that do stuff or that are involved in doing stuff. And again, it's a way of maybe getting more people involved. The other thing, I can't remember, something to respond to Mary, but I will respond to Henning, which is if everyone is in here doing their email, not paying attention, that's cool, because it means we really are just 12 people in the room, and there just happen to be more bodies generating heat. So I don't see that as a problem.
As long as they pay their attendance. Mr. Norris. Yeah.
Steve Norris. Yeah, part of what I think is where maybe a problem with this group is what kind of deliverable we'll be having. So why don't we think about, okay, we're not going to be doing protocol is what we're saying here, but we can actually write an abstract for an RFC to actually say this is what we want you to do. And then as soon as Jonathan thinks it starts to balloon out of control, you need to go back to the abstract and actually go back again. It has to then come back into dispatch to be agreed that it goes balloons out of control. Does that make more sense? So that we control the sort of things like abstracts.
Well, so like, you know, I talked about Ecker's boxes and arrows thing for a while, right? Sometimes when we look at these efforts, we want to have a sense of what they're going to be before we commit to where they should be, right?
Yeah,
if I hear I want to work on, you know, security, in Rye. You know, that tells me nothing about where it should live, right? I mean, we have to get to a greater level of specificity, and we need enough information and dispatch to be able to dispatch something.
Yeah, so you could like the discussion we had earlier on identities and so on and so forth, we could actually say what we want is an abstract to deliver any identity from A to B.
Right.
And as soon as you start then talking about security and how the security implications of that, you have to go revisit that abstract to say, yeah, we have all agreed that this needs to be done as well.
Yeah. Good. Got long lines here. Jonathan?
Oh, am I next? So one comment, sort of a small one on the option tag thing. So my mind, the option tag issue is actually primarily in the require header. I mean, that the reason we had this disallowing, we didn't want anyone to require a proprietary extension to interoperate. So I actually don't have a big problem with defining option tags for informational stuff as long as those are only ever allowed to appear in a supported header field, but never in a require header field.
Yeah.
And that might help. Right, I don't remember what else I was going to say, so I'll sit down.
Okay. Mr. Elwell, that is interesting. Yeah.
John Elwell. A couple of points. One very quickly. The sipping or dispatch session on Wednesday I found rather disappointing. We went through about seven or eight items and without really any conclusions from any of them.
Well, and I think part of that, can I interrupt for a second, because we did talk about that. I think part of what it was is what we did is we put documents that would be handled in dispatch if we were at that model, but we really didn't do it a dispatchy way.
Yeah, so all I was saying, don't fall back to sipping of two or three years ago.
Exactly. Yeah,
but the main point I wanted to make is interim meetings, phone calls, not face-to-face. ECRIT had an interim phone call about 3 or 4 weeks before this meeting. That gives targets, incentives. So it comes back to the incentive points that Henning and Mary made. And you can set a deadline for documents of about a week before that or whatever the rules are. And I think that would be an excellent way to make progress on some topics.
Agreed. And you know, again, this is by no means an exhaustive fix for Rye's problems, this reorg. This goes to Henning's document and so on. I mean, there are many other things we need to be doing. What we're interested in primarily, though, today, and option tags has gotten kind of conflated in this, is what do you guys think of the, you know, SIP core dispatch? Is this worth doing? Is this going to help? Or are we stupid? So that's... Yeah.
Okay, Martin Dolly. I guess 2 points. I mean, adding on to what Mary was saying, I mean, I think that there probably needs to be like a pre-conference call with respect to dispatch prior to the IETF where the chairs and I don't know who else would be added, but basically there's a filtering done prior to the meeting, and then the first dispatch meeting would actually be the first meeting on Monday. Just in case any additional filtering, would need to be done. So that's, point one. Point two, I think, feeding off of what Jonathan said with the overload, working group, I think that using, building off of design team concepts, if you look at for overload, the people who are actually doing the real work aren't in this meeting. The people doing the simulations and whatnot from the various different companies, but they meet regularly outside, and then presenting the results could be something done in dispatch or in someplace else, so that the face-to-face meeting here is more of a presentation of where they're at, but the real work gets done in these interim calls that are done on a scheduled basis, and of course anybody could join that activity.
And this goes in with John Owell's point as well about, dispatch is an excellent candidate to have a pre-ITF call. Daryl.
Daryl Malice. I'd like to talk to point number four just a little bit. So one of the things I think would help, and this may be somewhat controversial, is not just that, as we actually categorize something based on relevance, not just interesting. So, in other words, we continuously monitor the value of the work products that we are focused on to make sure that they are relevant to the industry, relevant to actually either issues or technology that needs to be developed in order to further the value of SIP, and not just because it was an interesting idea that someone put forth and everyone thinks it's cool, and it may be relevant at some point down the road.
Maybe we can ask Flickr for their relevance versus interestingness algorithm. Use that from ID views and comments and things like that.
That's a good idea.
But I think that needs to continue to happen, right? Deciding that something's interesting or relevant necessarily in one IETF meeting and beginning work on something 2 years down the road whenever we're still in the you know, working through the issue, it may no longer be relevant.
These things are constantly in flux and flicker too, right?
Two things. First of all, on the option tags, I think we've already had one draft that came back from the IESG because we needed it to be experimental, but it still needed to have an option tag. So we do need to downgrade option tags somehow.
That's different, though.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there was a case where we can't, under the current rules, get a document forward that people agreed should go forward, at least in some way.
Okay.
So there does need to be a change. What I do think we need is that we need, if it's going to be an expert review, we must define the rules for that expert review, yeah. And I think that brings in Jonathan's point. If we say, you know, there's going to be special considerations if it uses require, then we write that in the rules. So if you're thinking that we don't need to downgrade any of these things, then please put forward, this is to the working group as a whole, please put forward what you think should be part of the expert review considerations, because they need to be written in the BIS document.
I'm not sure they need to be captured in this document, but I think they need to be captured at some point.
Yeah. They need to be captured in an RSC somewhere because those are the rules that they need to be followed before you get it into the INR registration.
Right.
Second point was, in some ways, people need to think about how they want to get their documents through the working group. The working group just can't progress something, anything that comes in. Therefore, this is part of, you know, if we have some sort of pre-call that says, you know, we will look at your document, we will discuss the document before we get to the main working group, we can give advice as to what you need to do to actually help your path through the working group. If you want to carry on and present it as it is, then you'll end up in the gong show.
Yeah.
Providing, and there will still be the restriction there, I believe, that, you know, it's still, you need discussion on the working group list first. If it doesn't have discussion on the working group list, you probably won't make it to the meeting. So those rules will still need to apply. And don't expect, just because dispatch is there, you bring it in and automatically it starts progressing through the IETF. You need to still give thought as to what you need to get the working group to agree to when it actually comes before dispatch. Okay.
Actually, good advice. I think Mr. Polk's next.
James Polk. With respect, Robert, to your previous chairmanship, also, I want to disagree with Jonathan, because I know he has a strong opinion about this, or has sensed it. A document that's near and dear to my heart is location conveyance, which I'm being told is fairly relevant to the industry, has not gotten a lot of reviews lately, has gone through or is in the process of its second working group last call. And to be blunt, if this gets punted over to GeoPriv, with most of location conveyance being about SIP header and the SIP semantics, that working group does not know how to deal with that yet. Now, let me say something else. If this was 4 years ago or 5 years ago, absolutely this should have been a GeoPriv doc. Clear as day, I understand that. But as time has gone on, you know, the one GeoPriv specific issue is the routing allowed issue. You and Ted wrote a doc. I addressed that doc. So that was a concrete thing that I addressed.
I can't tell you how much I regret my complicity in this, but I wish I'd never written that document. I'll put it that way.
So I'm concerned. I know chairs can change. I'm concerned about losing the history that these two guys have as chairs with the getting this thing out the door.
But let me address this just a little bit, because okay. I do think in this particular case, the people who cared about the header in SIP will be the same people who are in the GeoPrip room and vice versa. This is a real, you know, a real tough one, I think.
But there's been some side comments from people that are vocal in GeoPriv that I don't think they talk in here because they get shut down in here.
So that makes that sense. Good to have less people?
Can I just ask, James? I think part of what you're saying is you would just, if document actually changes working group, if it needs to change working group, we should keep the existing shepherds, possibly.
That's enough. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about losing. So that's what I'm worried about losing.
Yeah. Well, I think Mr. Drage has a very realistic a proposal for that. So.
Okay. God, I'd really like to ask for a hum on that, but I'm not.
No hum. let me see, who do I like better here? first line, sorry.
Andrew Allen. Just like to comment on something I heard about conference calls. Now, have had a lot of experience in OMA of conference calls with bodies that operate on three continents. Yeah. And though it may work for some groups, I don't believe it works if you're working on three continents. Because the time differences mean not just that you have to have a conference call outside of your normal office hours, but if you take the US West Coast, the US East Coast, you take Europe, and you take China and Japan, it means someone has to do a conference call at 3 or 4 in the morning.
But no one cares about the Europeans, Andrew. Well.
So I think we have to think about, you know, that being the way forward. It may work for some groups if there's only North American and European participants, or if there's only North American and Asian participants, or any European and Asian participants. It really, in my view, does not work across three continents. It's just not practical.
I think it depends upon the participants. And what other groups I've worked with have done, if there really are participants from the three different continents.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
When you rotate through, you share the pain.
Well, yeah, but 3 or 4 in the morning, I think, is just not reasonable. Not as a regular thing.
No, but it wouldn't be a regular thing. It would be maybe every 2 months you have one night of that.
There are people who are starting to think about this.
Yeah, I think that's pretty regular.
People are starting to think more
broadly. Also, when you start moving them, people get confused as to which time they're in, particularly if they're people who are actually moving around geographically as well. That variable
well,
as well.
I mean, we can work the logistics of that, I think. I don't.
Now, I would have serious reservations about adopting a regular conference call way of working.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. Hi, Hadriel Kaplan. I just wanted to echo what Jonathan had said earlier and Martin, I think. I am worried that having to go spin off a working group is going to make people want to come here even less, maybe. They're going to try and stick it into an existing one, and we're going to get back into a little bit of the same problem. So is it possible, technically, to have a different process for these spin-off groups, that instead of having to have two BOFs and a working group, you know, 1 year later, basically, which is what you're talking about?
I mean, and to be clear, one of the things we've tried to sell about Dispatch is the notion that it could spin up efforts that don't ever lead to a working group. We want to try to get a concept of an effort that is a little different from the way we did things in the past. And the exemplar we hold up for this is RTP-SEC, right? RTP-SEC was a case where there was a specific problem. There were a number of candidate drafts. We needed to make a decision. And, you know, we brought this basically to BOFs that never intended to form a working group, where people vetted things, there was a mailing list, they hummed, and at the end of it, well, this work, you know, fragmented
right.
out.
But I was a part of that one, and I don't recall. Oh, yep.
What's that?
By that, you know, just John said on the first introduction of this, I just want to reiterate this note, the must have two BOFs and a year of thinking around is not something that is a process that's been written down that people have to follow. There are lots of examples where things have followed that path. They don't have to. We have an existence proof. We have more than one existence proof. Well, John's putting one up here for you, right?
No, it was delivering a consensus on an issue that
it was like a design team. It was design.
Guys, you gotta use the mic, please.
Yeah. I was gonna say the RTP-SEC may not be a good example because they didn't actually design anything or actually even come up with a new draft. They were just picking from the choices they were given.
Yeah.
Was it not true? I thought I was on it. That's what I remember. What's that?
I said things were chartered because of what happened in RTP-SEC. And you know, they ended up becoming the things that went forward. So, I mean, there was no way this was going to reach any consensus without that process, and the result of that process was a decision. If we had that for a lot of the things that we do, we would be very happy, I think.
So if I could then, I think what I'm hearing is a bit of healthy skepticism that inside the global IETF culture, we could pull off running these things in a quick fashion. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that we can't. And would really like to get a, you know, part of what we're trying to get a read for is if people want to try.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm all for the attempt. Don't get me wrong. We need to, you know, we need to try whatever we can try. Okay. I'm just asking if actually from the process perspective of the IETF, if we have to go through a BOF and a working group.
Absolutely not.
I think Robert's answered that question. The other part was actually the point that Martin made, I thought was very good, was that Dispatch should be the first thing to meet Monday morning because you don't have to wait for another whole cycle, because once Dispatch says you go over to SIPCOR or you go over spin your BOF or do whatever, They can do it at that meeting, and they don't have to wait. I know they can't officially get it off that same meeting,
but
they can say, all right, well, we'll, you know, they can start, they don't have to be like told on Friday, oh, you know what, you should go over to that one. Oh, well, that meant on Monday. I guess I'll wait till the next IETF. So I think that is a great idea to meet on Monday morning.
It'll make Lisa and Alexi mad, but since that's, they've already had this idea for the apps open area, but yeah.
Oh, sorry.
We'll do it Monday afternoon.
Yeah, right.
So Jonathan Rosenberg. So yeah, I think the bar, frankly, is the similar velocity to what you get with SIPPing, which is not great, but you can write a draft, you could submit it 2 weeks before the meeting, you could show up at the meeting, people can hum, and you can submit the document, and you can have a working group document in a working group. The problem, and I think the challenge, and that's, you know, we can, in fact, and have run that fast. Now, maybe they don't finish so quickly, but the point is, I think anything that people foresee is, I'll need two meeting cycles prior to getting a draft with a draft IETF name on it, that's the problem. So if we can prove that, oh, well, you know, we have a dispatch mailing list and we have some discussion, we all agree it should be a new working group, you know, we quickly get a BOF, and the next IETF you've got a working group or something like that, then I could be convinced, but I think it would actually take that type of velocity.
So we're going to take a hum in a minute, just one. You can, please, I think we have a minute.
Okay. No, what I was just going to say, and it's something I just put on the list, is you know, the document submission deadline is you may not talk about something submitted after that. There is no rule that says you must talk about something submitted at, you know, 2 weeks and 1 day. So since we are a deadline-driven community, if the chairs, you know, said, you know, if you want to have something discussed in the Monday dispatch meeting, it must be in 5 weeks before or whatever. Or,
exactly. I mean, that's what I was suggesting. I don't think we can operate otherwise. It'll be sipping.
Right. And you have the power. You're the chair. So,
well,
you know,
that's TBD, right?
Well, whoever would be the chair would have that, you know, ability to set such rules, which would not be onerous.
Yeah.
And that means you could get decent review before the meeting. You could talk about it. You could call people. And then people would have half a clue what you're talking about when you toss up this thing on the the Monday.
And there's no way to get away from the fact that, you know, this lives and dies in implementation, right? We can draw the most wonderful organization in the universe.
And we really, really don't want a protocol for protocol for protocol design.
Right. So, I mean, it's, you know, if our implementation of this would be bad or implementation of other things would be bad, this structure... No, I don't need my charge.
Well, yeah. 1 minute.
Okay. So if there's nothing further, I just want a very general sense of the room so I can, going forward with 3427BIS and us going forward with these charters, if this seems like a plausible enough direction, this might help, worth us doing, we shouldn't back it out. Let me take a hum first. Well, I hope if anybody here thinks we should blow the bolts, and this is totally wrong, they should be up there at the mic saying it, but... Let me just take a hum for people who think this is the wrong direction. We should not be doing this. Please hum. People who think that this is as good a direction as any of this. All right. I'll phrase the opposite. People who think this is a good direction, that we should do this, please hum now. Thanks.
There was only one chair hummed.
Yeah, the chairs would like to note their own hums for this. We can do a show of hands if you want to de-anonymize yourselves. I've got nothing else, so I mean, if there's no other comments.
Well, the consensus was to go forward, right, with the model in 3427BIS.
Okay, cool. I think we need to. We are done.
We're done. Yeah.
Okay, we're done.
It's not a decision. The decisions all come from the actual IETF review of the charters and of the document, right? But I'm just trying to get a sense of the people who are here, who I hope are all contributors in that process, of whether or not these are plausible. If you have problems, please bring them to the various lists.
Yeah.
Complain about the charters. Send text. A lot of people have sent good text and comments so far. Please send us more comments. We need them. And read Henning, Hannes, and Marcus's draft as well.
Okay, thank you. The meeting's over. See you in Sweden, maybe. Bye.